That's what you have to do. You have to have good materials from the beginning. Like in my two, you know, I think I've now done four crowdfunding campaigns, three successfully, and it was always key to have a lot of materials beforehand to be able to show something. One time I just had an idea that didn't work. Idea never sells. But yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. What you want to show in this teaser, whether it's 2 minutes or 10 minutes, is a pain point, like somebody literally running away from their government and somebody literally has lost all their money in Iran or I remember, Hass, we were talking about Lebanon in your house. You know, what's going on there?
Yeah, my sister's lost her money. She's leaving Lebanon tomorrow.
That's a good example. How do you envision humanity's future? With Bitcoin as the monetary root layer, how could the life of the average person look like or be transformed in a society or civilization based on Bitcoin? How can you imagine a hyper-Bitcoinized world in a monetary, economical, social, structural, scientific, technological, and ethical, spiritual level? What is your imagination, your dream, your vision, comprehension of a monetary evolution rooted in Bitcoin? What is freedom to you? These and many other questions and insights and enlightenment we talk about in our really fascinating conversation with Thorsten Hoffmann, the renowned prize-winning, award-winning filmmaker of Cryptopia and other films and documentaries, and Hass McCook, the well-known Bitcoin preacher, AutoDCA preacher. So without further ado, this is my really fascinating, amazing talk. If you can contribute in any shape or form, if you have any questions, feedback, or you want to, you know, somehow cooperate with me, with other Bitcoiners, experts, filmmakers, producers, creative people in making this film a reality, giving the people a glimpse into the future where there is freedom, prosperity, and abundance within the monetary root layer rooted in Bitcoin. All right, welcome to the show. My name is Kevan Davani. My two special guests, really excited to have you guys on my show. Thorsten Hoffmann, the filmmaker. Congratulations again, Thorsten, to your movie Cryptopia. Excellent movie. And we got Hass McCook. Longtime friend and Bitcoiner. So, Thorsten, I wanna start off with you. Can you give like a short introduction? Like, what was the intention, the vision behind your movie? Like, how did you get into this whole Bitcoin space or whatever you want to call it, like crypto space?
Cool. I'll try to keep it short. So in 2013, I discovered Bitcoin, and it kind of connected with like some papers I wrote during my MBA about alternative currencies. So for me, I had the aha moment relatively quickly. And at that time, I was working with a lot of documentary filmmakers, and I knew, oh, this is a topic I'm passionate about. Let's make my first documentary about the topic. That was Bitcoin, the End of Money as We Know It. Pretty low budget, but it went quite far. I think we licensed it to 25, 30 different countries. We just published it on YouTube, actually, and we got like 600,000 views in a month or so. So, I mean, it's still popular. It's it traveled quite widely. And Cryptopia film was kind of like a follow-up 5 years later. What has happened? Back then, it was only Bitcoin. Now there's, 100 other narratives. And back then, the whole digital gold narrative really didn't exist. Most of these other projects didn't exist. So I kind of came back and revisited the whole space. And you've seen Cryptopia. It's a pretty big, ambitious project, trying to cover pretty much everything that's going on in the industry. And somebody has recently told me that in my film, Bitcoin is kind of the hero, because it is... first the star, then it gets attacked, and then it kind of has this resurgence, and there's guys battling against it. So you have the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that is kind of like what I was going to do. I'm personally very much a Bitcoiner, but I'm, as a filmmaker, I'm trying to be less one-sided, or I'm trying to keep an open mind about everything. But I do think it becomes clear that A, I'm passionate about the general technology, and B, that if I were to make a financial bet or advice, Bitcoin is definitely the most solid. And I think that's probably your opinion as well.
Great, thanks. So, Hass, would you maybe you want to start off because I mean I, well let me ask you one more question towards I mean do you have like for now like a bigger picture like a bigger vision for yourself? What do you want to communicate? Like why are we doing Bitcoin? What is it in? What's in for humanity? I mean, what's the benefit? What's the value? What is I mean is has you have you have you ever like encountered like situations where people ask you why Bitcoin? I mean, you know, my life is pretty good, you know, especially, you know, at least in the Western world. What would change? I mean, how would my daily life change in the future? Are people going to ask you that, or do people ask you that?
Yeah, I get that question all the time, and I'm sure you've analyzed this much more deeply than I have. But look, I think a lot of the answers really fall under the category of freedom, right? Bitcoin provides freedom, whether it's someone who doesn't have access to financial services in developing countries, whether it's cross-border transfers, whether it's freedom of speech, even. I mean, there's a lot of things that fall under this, but I'm sure you probably have a bigger framework and much more that goes under it. But I think freedom is definitely a big one.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing is, I mean, I've been in the, you know, in the Bitcoin space, if you want, you know, doing all these interviews, podcasts, and reading a lot, and you know, communicating with so many Bitcoiners. It just has become so somehow overloaded with, it's somehow become hyper intellectualized. It just, you know, it's a lot of knowledge, of course. It's a lot of multifaceted Bitcoin. You need to understand a lot of things, but at the end of the day, like, you know, especially if you just look around what the situation looks like globally, you know, macroeconomically, geopolitically, the lockdown, the political propaganda, now with or without scientific fraud that's going on, we just don't know. But I'm just curious, how can we as Bitcoiners or individuals or collectively maybe as a community translate this bigger vision, this like how would the lives change? Because I've been talking, you know, to Jeff Booth, to Titus Gebel of Free Private Cities, and it's and after I read their books and talked to them, I got this enlightenment, this bigger vision, like, wow, you know, it is possible. It's not utopian, it's not a sci-fi thing, it's not dystopian, for sure. But if we just put all the right people together and we have Bitcoin, I mean, the hardest and scarcest money ever created, I mean, it's unfathomable, right? It's absolutely scarce, it's decentralized, it has all the monetary properties. And if we like connect that with free private cities, or what are you going to call it? Like citadel cities or miniaturized human civilizations. And you put in like entrepreneurs, investors, inventors, engineers with, you know, on a monetary root layer of Bitcoin, and you build like a beautiful structure of deflationary economics, like Jeff Booth has already been talking about so much, because it makes really logical sense. Like, how will our lives change? How could it? How could? Because I think not only our generation, my generation, but also our, you know, previous generation, like our parents and grandparents, don't really know what it's like to be in a, well, to be, just put it bluntly, you know, we can't even imagine what it feels like to be in a non-slave-like civilization. I mean, with, you know, with the central banks, the governments, you know, all the oppression going on, a little bit more subtle over here, but a little bit more oppressive in Iran, Venezuela, Turkey, Iran, wherever, you know. So I think it's realistic to show a personal or different personal stories of people, what the daily life of people can look like in a deflation economics rooted in Bitcoin with super like you know, exponential technological innovation, because that's what technology is about, whether you talk about infrastructure, transportation, energy production, energy efficiency, environmental technologies, maybe even, you know, peaceful defensive technologies. So that people can at least, you know, defend their, because that's the role actually of government, to protect life, liberty, health, and property. Okay, now I think I talked too much, but Has, what is your take? Can you maybe elaborate on my thoughts along those lines, what I'm trying to convey to Torsten? I think Torsten gets it, but you know, make from your perspective.
So basically how I understood that is like you'd effectively like to show people potential different scenes of the future. Different, basically, what life will look like in a couple of hyper-Bitcoinization scenarios, whether that's in free private cities or living amongst the state changing forms and changing shape, effectively trying to trigger that moment of belief into the person first learning about Bitcoin. So I suppose what I mean, I think, you know, Torsten might have alluded to it a little. It's that sense of like a belief in your right to freedom, which gives most people their Bitcoin moment. And basically what you're trying to show, or to understand how it's possible to show and communicate through film, how having and holding, you know, those, you know, beliefs about freedom can lead into a fruitful and happy post hyper-Bitcoinization world.
Can you maybe, I think Hesse would be very useful to kind of summarize your whole thing about, you know, Bitcoin as a religion or as a movement. Religion is always a tricky word, because I think that's where it starts, right? It starts with the ideas and the hardcore followers, and then everything else comes after that. So maybe it would actually make sense for you to just kind of summarize your work or your thinking on that before moving on, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. It's the transition from belief in Bitcoin's principles and a Bitcoin world, and how it looks once it's fully materialized. So Bitcoin's going to be $1 million a Bitcoin. What's the world going to look like when it's 1 million a Bitcoin, and how does it affect my life on a day to day? And I suppose that all depends on see, so this is the picture we wanna like, you wanna communicate to people, you know, here's life at, you know, $1 million a Bitcoin. It means there's been something drastic that's changed in the economy, and now Bitcoin is a reserve. I not knowing how to describe, you know, how to open the door to this photo. How do I introduce somebody to this to this picture? It's sort of from purely like a cinematic point of view, like the scene I want to show people is, this is how, you know, the world looks now, and this is how life is. What's the scene that's shown before that scene? For me, it's something probably like a crazy and religious. And then I'll pass you on. You believe these things, you believe in Bitcoin, heaven awaits. Here's what heaven looks like.
I actually I'm fascinated by this notion of having like this hardcore fundamentalist group of Bitcoiners, and I guess both of you are a part of that tribe, right? Because I mean, that is without this group defending the network, right? It won't work. So I think like this intellectual, spiritual core is super, super important to the story and to the technology. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I suppose you know, there's lots of things you can play on several elements of that core, how big it is, how it doesn't actually need to be that big to change the world. Like, you only need really like 1 million hardcore people, 5 million maybe, like really hardcore Bitcoiners, and like you'll have hyper Bitcoinization, no problems.
And If I may say, Torsten, I want to get what my wish is to, we get out of this self-adulation of, hyper-intellectualized Bitcoin educated. People are too busy for that. I really, my desire is to reach whatever the 90, 95, 99% of humanity with at least with my vision, with this film idea I have. And I can't do it by myself. That's why, I want to talk to you. I talked also to some other filmmakers who would be actually interested in talking to you. He's another German filmmaker. So I see this really as a joint venture project. And, believe him, is here and there. But for me, it's like, this is about not only ethos, but it's about the reality, what we can achieve. What are we trying to achieve here with Bitcoin? I mean, we cannot eat Bitcoin. People are too busy. They got lives, they got children, they got jobs. They're too distracted. They're too entrenched into, brainwashed with this whole mainstream media. And they want solutions. People want things, just get it done, right? So that's why I wrote this article, and it's a short, really brainstorm article, which I sent you all, human life rooted in Bitcoin. And because, I'm becoming father at around December, so I thought, it really touches me, because also like Jeff Booth, he actually wrote this book for his children. So I'm like, these are the questions I usually ask, and I'm still asking people, like, how do you envision humanity's future with Bitcoin as a monetary root layer? How do you, what's the life of the average person gonna look like? So anyway, I see like a transformational shift, a really an evolutionary shift on every level you can think of, structurally, socially, monetarily, definitely, economically. What if people, like, you see people day to day, like as a personal story, they pay less and less. Like, oh, I was paying that much. Why am I paying less now? The next day or whatever, the year after, for a product or service that is even much better, much more innovative. This is what it's about. How is
Look,
housing going to look like?
a problem you're gonna run into, and this is, I think, what I want to ask Torsten, is like a scope creep, because it is very interesting. What's housing going to look like? What can you fit? Like, I don't remember Cryptopia having that many scenes. Like, and you couldn't have really packed anything more in to an hour than what you already did.
Okay, so let's maybe start somewhere else. Start from the film making process, or how to think about this kind of a film idea, right? So I've been producing documentaries for 8 years now. Lots of credits to my name, loads of documentaries, but I know filmmakers all over the world. I've done business with pretty much all the big broadcasters, starting from Nat Geo and Discovery and CCTV in China, which is like 800 million TV households, to Netflix and Samsung and Amazon and all these kind of people. So the first step is always, okay, who do you try to reach, right? I mean, there are documentaries that literally the core, the target audience is one person. There's one example is that documentary about rape in the US military. That filmmaker just wanted to reach that one decision maker at the Pentagon, to kind of get the word out, and then some policy changes, right? Or it's Al Gore's climate change movie, forget Inconvenient Truth, which is basically spreading a message to millions of people, right? And anything in between. And I'm recently, I've learned a lot and read a lot of books and podcasts and stuff about really finding your niche audience and really serving them a product, and that which you can then monetize as a filmmaker, right? And I think your approach might be slightly different. You might want to have a broader appeal, maybe then the broadcast ways is still the best way to do it. I can help with that. Or it's kind of like a free YouTube kind of model where you just want to try to reach everyone. So maybe before talking too much about the story or about the vision, tell us a bit more about what you're trying to accomplish with this film. Where Who's going to see it, and how it's going to look like? Because it might be a movie documentary, like a feature documentary for cinemas, like mine. It might be a TV series, right? 5 times 52 minutes. It might be a YouTube series with it, which is 20 times 10 minutes or something, right? So there's so many ways to do this. Maybe start with the formatting and the audience first, rather than your vision.
Right. You see, when I sent this article, and I talked about this idea to a bunch of to a good friend of mine. He's in Iran. He's a actually pretty prominent Bitcoiner, and he forwarded to other Iranians. And the thing is, I mean, as you know, I talked about Iran previously. I said the pain point, you know, the suffering, you know, the social, economical, you know, the whole oppressive regime. That's the cause, right? So people, they gave me a lot of positive feedback. They thought it's a great idea. Why? Because they already feel the pain point. They are desperate. They're just hungry for, you know, a change, you know, prosperity, abundance, for real freedom. So I think it is already in the process of developing these kind of pain points in the Western world, or in European Union, or wherever, in America, and Australia. So people are already feeling there is something coming. So I think it's due time, it's overdue. I think it's a perfect timing for people to get, you know, exposed to this kind of vision, because they somehow, it's lurking, it's somehow hiding. Maybe it hasn't been articulated yet, but people like fear, there's a subtle fear, you know, inside them, like what is going to happen, you know, is the euro going to crash? Like, what's going to happen to the, you know, insolvencies? You know, a lot of banks, and Deutsche Bank is insolvent. What's going to happen, you know, to our lives? So it could be anybody. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know who the specific target is. That what you're talking about? Like the specific target audience, like ethnographic or demographics, age-wise? Is that what you're talking about? Like to be
Part of
more
it, yeah.
concrete, I wouldn't know. To be, I think it's. It could be anybody with concerns, like what is going to happen to our future, whether they have children or not, whether it's, you know, middle class, lower class, upper middle class. But don't we all want like a more prosperous, abundant future? You know, where also Jeff Wood talked about, his subtitle is actually why deflation is the key to an abundant future. So we can create, you know, with this monetary root layer, which is called Bitcoin, which cannot be confiscated, which cannot be stopped. It's already too late. The cat is out of the bag. Pandora's box been opened like 12 years ago. It's over. The game is over. So all we have to do is like get together and structure it, put it into a structure. Like whether you call it like Citadel City, Free Private City, a project with its 1, 2, 3, like Titus Gebel project in Honduras, or there could be like thousands of projects like that. Like,
Look, I think it's like I have seen a lot of like Bitcoin and crypto like documentaries by now. I do think it is a unique concept in terms of a Bitcoin story. What might a Bitcoin future look like? It's like a it's a it's the only like the only thing and it's not really only thing wrong with it when you present such a statement. You have to illustrate how we're going to get there.
Okay,
Like, there has to be an illustration. Here's your pain point. Here's what it could be like in the future. And, like, this is how Bitcoin does it without needing to tell you about elliptical curve algorithms or anything like that. It's just, here's how, like, you know, if you need to run away, flee from an oppressive government to a free city, this is how Bitcoin's going to work for you, like, in that situation.
Parallel like societies, you know. I mean, this is my in my naive understanding, like. You know, what is it life like now? You know, people are like chasing money. They have to work for 50 hours a week just to make ends meet. You know, it's I think it's unimaginable for people. We can have that kind of reality, but it just we don't know. We never had. I mean, maybe people in the during the gold standard, you know, they were still able to save money, you know, to have a low time preference, to invest into the future, to create into the future, whether it be artists or a merchant, you know. Like, I want to show like what is life right now here, and what realistically life could like maybe parallel, you know.
Okay, a little bit of inside baseball here. So I was offered, or I was approached by someone who runs one of these projects, you know, like a Bitcoin run country or city. And there's many, right? Some have already failed, some will fail, obviously. And the idea was basically, they said, well, look, we have a $1 million marketing budget. What can we do? And so my film partner and I, we came up with basically two concepts. One concept is just basically looking at all these kind of independent nations, right? There's one in Australia, by the way, in Western Australia. It's like a country by itself, right? There's a funny story about that.
It's gone
Oh, is it?
out of business, bankrupt on the Rona. No tourists. So they've, yeah, they sell passports. That's how they make their money. Yeah, great place.
So you could basically look at 20 of these places, right? And a lot of them are failing. And even the what's the one called in Seattle now where the first murders are happening, right? I mean,
Yeah, the Chaz.
there's a lot of these projects, and many of them fail. And you could kind of create a narrative where look, a lot of these people are utopian, blue-eyed, naive dreamers. They can't run and build a city, but there's one or two projects. These guys think about it from the ground up. This is interesting, right? It's like a documentary about this whole concept. Another story arc could be that we watch the building of it. It's basically almost like embedded journalism, right? So we start with you having podcasts, right? And 5 years later, you actually, whatever. It's a big process, right? You meet heads of state. You meet people online first. Then it's then there's a conference, and then people get around, and then there's some culture that develops with some, I don't know, songs or books or like a declaration of independence or whatever it is. So it's a whole process that will take 5 years. But the shooting days is just like two or three shooting days in each of these 5 years. But at the end, you have basically a creation story, which is super, super interesting, right? And I mean, that's just two of the ideas that we came up back in the day.
We could do a 30-year project.
That's a little. I don't have the patience
We
for that.
all turn grayer and grayer, the beards get
Hey,
longer and longer.
it'll be good. It'd be a world first. Or maybe not, actually. Who knows?
Yeah, but as a long-term project, why not? And we could just document it as a raw material at least, and then just, wouldn't that be possible? And then put it together. It's going to be loads of materials by then, but.
But look, in terms of like practicalities and all of that, like what pushes you to go for a particular format? So like I'm sure like Bitcoin, you could do as many episodes, a series as long as The Bold and the Beautiful, and not run out of episodes. What's the practicality of selling a five episode series versus a single block documentary?
Yeah,
I imagine it's a very different process.
depends on the buyer. I mean, that was kind of my first question, right? So if the job is to sell it, right, to license it to Netflix or to many of these streaming services or TV channels, then you need the packaging, right? You need 5 times 45 minutes or 3 times 52 or whatnot. But maybe that's not the approach. Maybe the approach for you is basically having it on YouTube, packaging it for YouTube, so you reach a 10 times larger audience. That's kind of what I wanted to understand first. But it doesn't seem to me that you have that clear of a plan yet, but I think you need to consider it. Yeah, for
Okay,
sure.
so you, Torsten, you have more or less like crowdfunded the last project, right? I mean, to
Yeah, a little. I mean,
partially.
crowdfunding was almost like the last a piece of the puzzle. So we approached Screen Australia. Screen Australia is a film commission, Filmförderung, in Australia, and they funded maybe 40% of the budget because I had already proven that there's an audience with my first film. So that was
Okay.
that. And then based on the Screen Australia funding, I could then go to a German public broadcaster, Norddeutscher Rundfunk, and say, look, we have half of the funding. Why don't you add for the German
Oh,
broadcasting
that's
rights,
how it
you add
works.
another 40%, right?
Okay.
And then the crowdfunding. So it's usually building blocks like
Okay.
that.
Did you start off with a, I mean, this is what I had envisioned. I thought that would be a practical approach, like do a like a really effective, really sexy, touching, emotionally touching, rationally touching, a comprehensible somehow teaser, trailer, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. But like it really touches people in the hearts, in the brains. They really like are really hungry, like what's gonna happen next, like a soap opera, but it's a reality. Like we show we whether it be interviews or or we go to Honduras and talk to Titus Gebel right there at on his project and his running project, and then sell it somehow, or have the followership and the viewers and somehow build up a community, and then eventually have it at least partially or to a substantial degree crowdfunded. Is that realistic? I mean,
That's what you have to do. You have to have good materials from the beginning. Like in my two, no, I think I've now done four crowdfunding campaigns, three successfully, and it was always key to have a lot of materials beforehand to be able to show something. One time I just had an idea that didn't work. Idea never sells. But yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. What you want to show in this teaser, whether it's 2 minutes or 10 minutes, is a pain point, like somebody literally running away from their government and somebody who literally has lost all their money in Iran or. I remember, Hass, we were talking about Lebanon in your house. You know what's going on there.
My sister's lost her money. She's leaving Lebanon
That's a
tomorrow.
good example. Yeah, that would be a
Thank
prime
God.
example, actually.
Leaving
Lebanon is like the
tomorrow.
current perfect example for that, you know.
Yeah.
But then, you know, show the opposite world. That's what I'm saying. You know, I want to show Lebanon or people like really like Zia, one of my friends in Iran, and like show them what life could be like in, you know, in such a free private cities where you have, you know, the protection. Actually, you know, some provided and done by private contractual partners. That it's a service provider. So they actually much more efficiently and even cheaper they and better they provide all the services, right? Security, protection of whatever, health, medicine, whatever that is, you know, a protection of property. And but then everything else we have like true free market principle because people don't even know what capitalism and most people don't know we don't have capitalism. It's this is not
Yeah,
free market principle.
that's another like a battle, unfortunately, and that muddies the waters a lot for Bitcoin, because like Bitcoin has offers the promise of capitalism, and people hear that and they say, capitalism, that's terrible. We don't want that.
Yeah. No, I think we philosophically clear agree the three of us on this 100%. Maybe, but for the trailer or for the storyline, make sure to also have the voice that calls everything in question, right? You want the communist or the socialist to say, look, these guys are crazy. These libertarians they think they can run themselves. No, we need the state. You know, we need someone to call you crazy or to call the whole idea crazy. You need that tension in the trailer. And that's maybe the one storytelling advice that you should definitely go away with. That a fanboy film speaks to the fanboys, but those you've already convinced, right? They moved to
Exactly,
the Citadel
yes.
anyway.
Yeah.
You want to reach a large audience, yeah.
Right. And
It
interviewing, like, would that be important too? Like, key figures, at least from different fields? Would it be, you know, entrepreneurs, economics, you know, investors? I don't care, you know, like from every sector and, you know, playing field, like, have them give their personal story or perspective on what the world could look like. This is really important to me. Like everybody should, you know, give their input. Like what do you envision? You know, how is life going to look like in 10, 20 years? All right.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like obviously like screenwriting and timing to be done to figure out what goes in and out. But I think it is feasible enough to like achieve something good. Like I'm sure it's a lot more difficult than it sounds,
Yeah.
though. Torsten's nodding his head. Yeah.
I could just go back to our Kickstarter campaign. Actually, all of them, even 5 years ago, what trailer we presented, the last Kickstarter campaign for Cryptopia, and now the trailer that we used to sell it. So we're launching on Amazon in a couple of days' time in 80 countries,
And
and you see.
you guys had the goodies as well. You guys had the best goodies for the backers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's actually a good point, right? Why would they support you? They want to have something physically, if possible. Yeah, and in those trailers, you need a little bit of drama, a little bit of script writing for sure, and yeah, paint that picture. Look, happy to I don't know, support or talk to your other filmmaker colleagues. Maybe I can. I mean, I've been not only a producer, I've been also a sales agent with documentaries. So I know the marketplace quite well, especially in Germany. I sold 250,000 Blu-rays back in the days. I had a Blu-ray and DVD label here, and I know all the TV channels and stuff like that. So I'm happy to help if it's not on the creative side, then maybe on that side of things. Look, I'm passionate about this too, and maybe there's a film project or a series coming out of it.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, if we could just, you know, whatever, you know, somehow connect and cooperate with one another and make this really Yeah, make this a reality, because I think it's the perfect timing for communicating the bigger picture for people, because I think people are lost. They don't know really what it is. It's just so much misinformation, disinformation going on, and people are confused. So maybe it's the perfect timing for at least give them a feeling of what life could look like, in the future. So Thorsten, any other, before we wrap up, do you have any other projects, plans, or that you can talk about, for the future, or where can people find you?
I mean, funding new films is always tricky. I'm still in the distribution mode for Cryptopia, so we just started with a TV sales agent. We're launching on 80 or 90 countries on Amazon and Amazon Prime in some countries as well. Lots of other video platforms. So that's gonna continue for the next couple of months. I'm hoping to do another one on the next technology, but I mean, funding is always tricky. Hopefully, bit by bit, my reputation, and we've now won a couple of awards as well, and many film festivals. So it gets it takes a long time, 6 years now. Hopefully my next one gets funded a little bit faster. It's not easy being a filmmaker, but for you maybe to take away, there's a couple of interesting ones. So there's one BBC documentary, was it BBC, about the Puerto Rico crypto island or whatever they call it. That might be an interesting case study, although maybe not so much. But anyway, maybe we can exchange a few emails. So I've obviously watched all the documentaries. I liked some of them, didn't like some others, but there's different approaches. And I think what feedback from the audience for my films have been, well, they felt like I'm not a tourist filmmaker. I'm part of the community and I'm passionate about it. And you are too. And that makes a difference, right? A random BBC crew or Netflix crew trying to cover a subject will never really do that well of a job. So I think part of your pitch is really, look, we are behind it, right? We're passionate about it. Or you hire independent journalists, right, to cover you neutrally. I mean, that might be a different approach then.
Okay. Well, Has, do you have any final thoughts?
No,
Closing
so
one?
I always love talking film storytelling, and selling the belief. Everybody knows me as a religion man. I'm not going to change.
And the auto-DCA preacher, yeah.
I've just got to now convert the masses to this beautiful belief system that we have, that we have the rights to our properties, our speech, our movement, and
And by the way, can I
everyone's
just
got to
add?
believe in something, might as well believe in that.
Exactly. And by the way, maybe one more comment. So you need these strong characters, right? Likeable or hateable characters, and ones with extreme views. And that's the perfect example, right? The Bitcoin scholar, that's perfect. I mean, it's just picture perfect. And you need a few others. You need enemies as well, right? What I mentioned before. But the more interesting people are, the better. I see a lot of these, especially YouTube documentaries. They do interviews with tons of these ICO people and blockchain people and the suit and ties and suit people, and they all kind of have the same story, and they want a picture. The project, who's going to watch this, right? You need a different approach.
I
You
really
need the
enjoy about it.
believers,
the
Exactly.
ragtag
Yeah.
bunch.
Yeah. No, you really need the people who trust, who understand it, and who just know that, because the question at the end of the day is do we have a choice? I mean, other than Bitcoin, I think that's the question. In order to create a new whatever human civilization or a more prosperous, abundant world. Do we have that choice? That's a good question. How is it going to look like? So anyway, so I really enjoyed the talk, Thorsten has, and hope to, we can repeat this in the very near future.
Yeah, continue. All the best. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. Take care. So, how did you like this talk with Thorsten Hoffmann and Has McCook? So, if you are in the film industry, in the film business, a creative, you do music, graphics, art, whatever you do, whatever experience you have, and you really not only believe but trust in the essence and power and potential and future of Bitcoin, and you have a vision, a concrete vision, then help me, help all of us, help yourself, your beloved ones, your family, the whole total humanity. So get in touch with me. My DMs are open on Twitter, or wherever, make sure you follow Hesme Cook and Torsten Hoffmann. My email address is hello@thetotalconnector.com or kd@kvandavani.com. My name is Kevan Davani. I'm the Total Connector. Let's make this film reality for total humanity. Thank you.